Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Woodward. And yes, you are listening to Funnel Hacker Radio, and I'm way excited today because I get questions all the time about people who are trying to use ClickFunnels as an agency model to go out and basically present proposals to people to help, whether they're running Facebook ads, whether they're running, they're trying to create webinars, whether they're trying to create funnels for people. And I get asked all the time as far as, well, what's the best thing? Do I just do a proposal? How do I send it? What do I do? And I thought, you know what? The best thing for me to do is to get the person who knows proposals better than anyone else I know, and that's Adam Hemstall. Welcome, Adam. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So Adam is the CEO of Better Proposals. They specialize in doing exactly that, and that is helping you basically create the proposals that can help you win the deal. So some of the things we're going to be talking about today is going to be how to actually increase your price, how to increase the conversion on your proposals, which is one of the main things most people want, why you should send a proposal and what to include. The two things, though, I'm most excited about, and that is how to get paid immediately. And the one thing I know when I was consulting that was drove me crazy, and that was how to avoid scope creep. It's like drives me crazy. So with all that said, let's kind of just dive right in, Adam, as far as why do people need to send a proposal? I know it seems kind of basic, but why?
No, it's a really good question. It's a really good place to start, actually, because a lot of people don't actually want to sit down and write them, which is the first thing. They're you know, frankly, they're a real pain to write. They take an awful long time. And, you know, if you're probably, you know, maybe you won't win the job and it seems like a wasted effort. So a lot of people try and leave it, and then wait till the last minute. And only when it's kind of confirmed, then they go through the effort of actually writing the thing up once it's almost done. The problem with that method is that someone's already won the job by the time you've got around to doing that. So you want to get your, you know, put your best foot forward and do it very, very quickly. So, you know, I always think that's, you want to give somebody a decision to make. That's really the best way to think about it. So if you never send a proposal, what decision are you asking them to make? You're asking them to create the whole thing in their head, guess how you want to work, and then just magically tell you. Now, sometimes that happens because that person needs you more than you need them, and they'll chase you down and all that sort of stuff. But it's actually much, much easier for you to just tell them what you want, tell them what they need to do next, and ask them a simple question. Do you want to do it? And the easiest way to do that is with a proposal.
Well, I know that especially in today's world, things seem to be kind of casual a lot of times. It's like, hey, I know a buddy and he's trying to do this. And when they're actually going out trying to win a deal, they typically don't even know what they're going to offer. It's more of a almost more of an interview type thing, sitting down saying, you know, gosh, I can do everything. I can build funnels for you. I can run your Facebook traffic. I can actually create the webinar on the back end. I can create all these things. How does a person basically fine-tune the proposal so that it's a win-win for the person presenting, and at the same time, the other person who's actually on the other end thinks, of course, I need this person.
Yeah, so that's a really, really good point, actually. And was it Christos that you had on recently?
Yes.
You guys were talking about questions. And yeah. I was just literally listening to it earlier, and it was a really – it brings up a really great point, and that's the art of asking good questions. And, you know, sometimes when we're talking about proposals and things like that, people think that you eliminate that question part. You still have to do that. You still have to sit down with that client. You have to listen, use your ears more than your mouth, all that kind of stuff, and really get to the truth of what they actually need, what they want. And you still need to go through that discovery phase. And only once you've done that bit, then you can sit down and you can start to put a proposal together that actually makes sense to them. Which, in essence, if you're talking about that kind of method where it's a very consultative kind of process, you're actually just documenting an action plan. And that's really all a proposal should be. It's just kind of an action plan of the process that you both came up with together.
I love that idea. Well, let's talk about what are the things they need to – so what you're basically saying is the things they need to include in the proposal is more of the action plan of what it's going to take to actually make this thing happen. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's start to finish, isn't it? So, you know, one of the things I like to say to people is that obviously we have the benefit of having, you know, a huge amount of data that we can draw upon to try and help people actually close more deals. And we know that the two pages that get read the most are the first page of text, so typically an introduction or an executive summary or something of a similar nature, and the price page. So, you know, you kind of want to write your proposal in like two layers. So the first layer is the surface level, and that's the intro and the price. So if they read nothing else, what would happen? Like, if they just read those two things, have you given across a good enough, you know, a good enough impression? And then everything else just adds to that and supports those arguments. But it's really just about asking those great questions and, you know, using that executive summary or that introduction to really hammer home the real reason why they're trying to do this. So yes, they want more leads into their business. If you're going to sort of build a funnel for them, do the webinar thing, whatever, you know, whatever the chosen method is, but what's the real reason that they actually want to do that? And that's, I think, a very, very hard thing for people to do. But when you really discover what that actually is, it changes everything. And it makes the whole proposal writing thing just a formality and a foregone conclusion that, of course, they're going to work with you because you're probably the only one that's ever understood them.
I totally agree with you on that. I think that's the honest truth. Well, tell me then, the hard part for obviously people is the amount of time it takes for proposals. Mm-hmm. And the other issue they deal with is how many of these am I going to win? So how does what you guys do and teach and work with, how does it actually help them basically win more or convert more to and at the same time at higher prices?
Sure. Okay. A lot of questions at one. Okay.
So, I know. I just threw them all out at you.
That's all right.
So we'll slow it down. Albert, let's go on just to conversion. How do you increase conversions on your proposals?
Increasing conversions. So the first thing you want to do is send it quickly. That's the quickest way to lose a job or a potential job at that point is to just wait. And the longer you leave it from that moment of, I mean, think about this, you know, in a meeting or a discovery session, you know, be it on the phone or in person, when somebody says, great, that's amazing. Can you send me a proposal? That moment right there is the most excited they are ever going to be. And it's also the most likely. This assumes you're dealing with business owners and that sort of thing. You're going corporate level, it just does sort of start to apply slightly less. But if you're dealing with small businesses, that is literally the truth. The closest you're going to get money out of anybody is that moment. So if you leave it 5 days before you put a proposal in front of them, do not expect them to be as excited as they were in that moment. So the first, the easiest thing you can do to increase conversions is just send the damn proposal quicker. I mean, that's one thing you can do. The second thing I've kind of already mentioned is getting, you know, improving your questioning. So really understand exactly what it is they're trying to do. And then, you know, in all this, I mean, you know, this is a smart audience. Use the same tricks and skills you have as a copywriter to write good copy to your person you're sending your proposal to. You know, you still need a headline. You still need to hook them in. You still need to do all that stuff. It's not, you're not off the hook just because you're sending a proposal to them and they like you. You still have to win them over. And the job isn't done just because, you know, you had a beer together or you had a great conversation. So you still need to do that bit. So making sure you're writing a really, really great introduction and hitting on those major points that they actually want to achieve, it's probably the single biggest thing that you can do, and sending it quicker. They're the two easiest fixes.
I love it. Well, let's talk more then about how do proposals help you actually increase your prices?
Well, I kind of touched on it earlier, but actually giving them something to say yes to, that's, you actually make it very, very easy for them. I mean, if you think about your day, I mean, I know that I get somewhere in excess of 500 email a day, and a good chunk of that I'm supposed to reply to, apparently. So, you know, we're all busy, is my point. We're all busy. And the conversation you're having with somebody about this potential deal or the work that you're going to do with them is just one of millions of things that's going on in their life. So making it easy for them is probably the single biggest thing you can do. And, you know, often when you're trying to write a proposal in something like Word or InDesign or, you know, any other method, or worse yet, just kind of sending an email and hoping for the best, you're actually asking them to do a hell of a lot. You're asking them to figure out what your sales process is. You're asking them to, you know, maybe print out something, sign it, take a picture of their signature on the order form or whatever it is. All of that stuff. I know that's sort of going a little bit old school, but that's actually a pain for somebody. That's going to slow a deal down. And maybe in some cases that actually might be the annoying thing that stops you getting it, because something else comes up and then they pass the project off. So it's amazing how many times you can lose a deal just over something so, so silly, just as actually making the sales process difficult. So one of the things that's built into Better Proposals is the software that we've created is digital signatures. So they're legal in, you know, just about everywhere in the world. And, you know, you just literally ask your customer to type their name in and press a button. That's it. Done.
Very cool.
So it's completely legal. And obviously you're making it really, really easy for them. And, you know, that's the name of the game, really.
Well, the one thing I'm most fascinated about, and that's avoiding scope creep. I had my own agency. I worked with clients in the past, and you spend all this time and you're like, you know what? I know I can help do that. And all of a sudden you think you're helping them out, but what's actually happened is I've had the experience where I thought I was helping them out by doing all this stuff. The scope crept way up. I was spending so much more time. I wasn't getting paid. I was frustrated. And then they didn't feel like they actually got what they were going to get for free from me. And I was like, I was doing that for free. So how do you help people avoid scope creep?
Well, the first thing is actually don't give them extra stuff. Don't actually promise it. I think that's the worst thing that people do, is they promise extra stuff in the hope that that's going to be the thing that wins them the job. I mean, you know, spoiler, if the free stuff won't help you, if the core of the project isn't enough to win them over, then no amount of extra freebies are going to do it. It's just not going to be a deciding factor. It's always going to be something else. It's going to be, you know, the proof that you provided. It's going to be your testimonials, your case studies, how you've related to them, you know, your positioning. It's going to be all that stuff that makes the difference with you getting the job, not the extra freebies that you've chucked in. And also it lowers your value massively, massively. Because if you're prepared to, you know, I know in the marketing world, it's easy to sort of slap massive price tags on things and say, hey, you get this as, you know, free if you go ahead quicker or something to that effect. But what it actually does, especially in the service business world, is it lowers your value massively, because they're almost never paying full whack for the original stuff. And then you go and chuck in a load of stuff on top of that. It just weakens the whole proposition. And also that stuff you can't charge them for later. So my advice is actually just to scale the thing back. Don't give them that free stuff in the first place, and just do an amazing job of delivering what you actually promised them. Because, I mean, here's like a sort of kind of a basic way of thinking about it. So somebody comes along and they want a funnel, right? They just want the funnel done for them. So you quote for that, you do it. You've priced it up and you delivered 100% of that thing. But if you said to them in the whole sales process, oh, by the way, we'll do this extra thing for you as well. And then you do that, but then you know, it was a freebie, it was extra. So maybe you didn't put as much effort in and you delivered maybe 70% of that. Well, you've now actually under-delivered by giving them more stuff. So you've created more work for yourself, you've over-promised, and then you've under-delivered on that promise. You'd have been better off not giving them the extra thing in the first place.
I love that. I think that's fantastic. Well, last question here, and that is, how do you get paid immediately? I'm always about getting that first check. So how do you get paid immediately?
I actually skipped one of your questions, and I didn't even mean to do it, but you asked earlier how to get paid more in the process.
Oh, yes.
Somehow skipped over that question somehow, but I'll attack both. So how to get paid more is really just confidence. It's
I love that.
having confidence in yourself to charge a higher amount is the first thing. The second thing, and this is more relevant to your audience than perhaps any other that I've spoken to, but the fact that you're dealing with such logical stuff, with funnels, with open rates, with click-throughs, it's the clues in the title, funnel. You know, you can actually mathematically work out with a starting point number and predicted sort of conversions along the way, how much money somebody's going to make. You can make reasonable guesses. So use that math, use that logic. Same thing if you sell SEO, do any sort of pay-per-click work, anything like that, anything where you can mathematically draw a conclusion to a final number or an ROI, and use that in your sales. I mean, if somebody's saying, oh, it's going to cost, yeah, I don't know, $1,000 for something, and they provided no backup, no ROI calculation, no nothing. They're just like, it's going to cost this and that's it. That's fine. That might be good value to somebody. But it's actually much, much easier to get $2,500, which is way more than the original $1,000, if you broke it all down for them and gave them a logical sort of flow as to how they can reach $15,000 in profit. Now your $2,500 seems really, really cheap.
I love that. I love selling money at a discount. It's one of my favorite things to do. So I think that's great.
And how to get paid quicker is actually really quite simple. And we've made this even easier with a relatively new feature in Better Proposals, is ask for the money immediately afterwards and give them a really easy way of doing it. So in Better Proposals, what we've actually done in the software is once they've signed the proposal, you can hook up your sort of Stripe account, your PayPal, anything like that, and they can immediately pay the deposit there and then. So there's none of this like chasing people after the deal's been signed, or yes, we want to go ahead, but when? There's none of that. It removes all the ambiguity. You get the deal signed and then they immediately pay. And you know, and then the cash is in your account. You start the process quicker. They're on board. You can crack on. You're more excited. They're more excited. Everything gets done quicker and you move on to the next job. So it speeds everything up from the start. And it's working incredibly well. It's fairly new, but a lot of people have been testing it out, saying it's working an absolute treat for them. But even if you weren't to use something like, you know, Better Proposals, you can still apply that same logic in, you know, providing providing an easy way for them to actually make that payment. So, you know, giving them a way to pay with a credit card immediately after signing or agreeing the proposal is a really good way of going about it.
I love that. I think that's one of the things people always seem to struggle with the most, is getting that first check. And it's almost like people struggle with the actual sale or asking for the sale. But once they've asked for the sale, and they get the sale, the next thing is, well, now I got to actually get the check. And I think just making that as simple as possible for you as well as for them is awesome.
But the other thing as well is you've actually just touched on it, asking for it. And isn't that a hard thing to do? Do you know what I mean? Actually saying to somebody, yes, and now I want you to put your hand in your pocket and give me the money. That's a hard thing to do. But if the machine did it, or if the software did it, oh, it's just the software we use. That seems so much more defensible, I think a lot of it, especially if you're like a freelancer and you know you're working in a computer the whole time, actually doing that closing bit, you know, like a lot of you see on TV or in, you know, these like sales films and stuff like that, they all seem to do it so well. And then you try and do it in real life, and you know, you realize how utterly stupid you look. But that's a hard thing to do, and it's something that seasoned pros struggle with. You know, never mind freelancers sort of doing it once every 3 months. So it's very much worth trying to use the technology that's around, you know, be it our stuff, be it anything, it doesn't matter, but use that technology to try and, I hate to say it, almost like pass off the job. Like, I'm not the one asking for the money, the software is. So just do what it says and everything will be great.
I love it. Well, Adam, as we get close to wrapping things up, any other advice you want to give to people?
Get your proposals out quickly. Just create a process for it. Get a good template. I mean, we've got 43, I think, templates, all mostly in the sort of marketing and sort of tech web space, all over on our website. I'll give you the link in a second. But get a process for it, because that's the bit that's going to slow you down and make things difficult. But yeah, there's tons of them over on our website, over at betterproposals.io.
Fantastic. So is betterproposals.io the best place of them getting a hold of you? Because I'm sure people have questions about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a live chat system on our website. So you just go to betterproposals.io. And if you hit up the live chat, that's usually me there. But if you leave a question, I'm more than happy to come back. But yeah, type out your question and let me know that you where you heard of us from, and then I can come back to you with a nice, decent answer and give you a bit of time.
I love it. Well, Adam, thank you so much for your time. And again, appreciate you addressing a lot of these concerns people have as freelancers and going out trying to land the deal. So I appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you soon. And thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dreamcar and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.